This is the sixth and the last in our series of lessons on productive, finding joy in what we do. Let me just review quickly the lessons that we've had so far. You remember we started in the book of Genesis, and the lesson was good work. And we were reminded in that lesson that work's a gift from God. It was assigned prior to the fall. It was not part of the curse. It's always been God's plan that man work. And part of the joy that we have in life is to work. Lesson two, we moved to the book of Ephesians, who we work for. And we were reminded in that lesson that whatever we do and whoever we work for, in reality, we are working for our Savior. We are working for Christ. And so the results, the attitude, and the effort that we put into our work should reflect the desire to please our Savior. Lessons 3, 4, and 5, we were in the book of 2 Corinthians. We were talking about giving. And in the first lesson, we talked about the power of giving, that when we give ourselves to the Lord, He empowers us to give. In the second lesson, we talked about the process of giving. We decide and commit and then give. And last week, we talked about the results of giving. The results of our giving is that others' needs are met. God guarantees that our needs will be met, and then as we give, He is glorified. And so this morning we come to our lesson, give, work, a rest. We go back to the Old Testament, we go back to the book of Exodus. I heard on the radio this week, and maybe you did too, about a study that somebody did. I can't remember who did the study, but the study said that the majority of people do not take all the time off from work that they're entitled to. They don't take all their vacation. They don't even take the weekends that they're off. And that, again, the majority of people that work oftentimes bring work home with them. And with the advent of the cell phone and the computers, it's easier to work at home than it was in the past. And so many, many people never really take a day off. And even when people are not on a job, now this is part of the lesson, that's what the study said, but even when people are not working, sometimes our hobbies and sometimes the sports that we get involved in become more like work than they do fun. I mean, we get hectic in our schedule, and we march to the schedule of a sports schedule just almost as much as we march to the schedule of a work schedule. We have to be places. We have to be there for, you know, while the game is going on. And sometimes we work as much in our leisure activities as we do at work. And we need, the lesson points out to us this morning, we need to recapture the importance and habit of taking rest, of taking time off, to be relaxed, to be refreshed, to be restored. You know, I have a cell phone. The more that I use it, the more that I need to recharge it. The more that I use it, the more my battery is used up, and the more times I have to plug it in. The same thing is true of us as individuals. The more you do, the more you need to recharge. The more you do, the more that you need to rest. The more you do, the more you need time to get refreshed and restored. And that's what the lesson is talking to us about. And just like work is part of God's plan, so is rest. We'll go back to Mount Sinai, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment, you don't need to turn to it, I'll just read it to you. It's not part of the lesson. We'll get to the scripture in a minute in Exodus, later on in Exodus, Exodus chapter 32. But in Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." He set it aside. He made it holy. He made it a day of rest. Now, after Exodus chapter 20, the rest of the book of Exodus is more laws, is more principles that God gave Moses. And in the subsequent chapters of Exodus, God repeats his admonition to his people that you need a time of rest. And so I mentioned Exodus 32. We're actually in Exodus chapter 31 this morning. And we're going to do verses 12 through 17, if I remember right. Yeah, 12 through 17. So let's look at the first two. Exodus 31, if you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 31, or if you have your Sunday school books open, the verses are in there. Verses 12 and 13, here's what the Bible says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. When God wanted to introduce a new subject in the book of Exodus, he often used the phrase, the Lord spake unto Moses. They really weren't having a conversation because God was doing the talking. But when he used that phrase, he wanted to connect it to the things that he had said before, because again, God was doing the talking. And he wanted to ensure that everybody understood as they read it, or as Moses conveyed it to the people, that these instructions, this admonition, wasn't coming from Moses. It was coming from God. And so God spake on the Lord spake unto Moses. That word Lord, the name for God, Lord, is Yahweh, which is the name that we've talked about before. It's the name that God used for himself when he wanted to remind his people that he was the God that made the covenant with them, the agreement with them, that he would be their God and they would be his people. The fact that it says the Lord spake reminds us that God does make himself known. He does make his will known. He does make his purpose known. And I would tell you that God is still doing that today. He is still, just like he did to Moses and his people, the Israelites, he's still making himself known to us. He's still making his will known to us. He's still making his purposes known to us. And he's doing it in the same way that he did it for Moses, through his word. In Moses' case, he spake that word. In our case, we have it written down in our Bibles. This book tells us about God. This book tells us what his will is. This book tells us what his purpose for us is. And that phrase says, the word came unto Moses. Moses was his messenger. He was responsible to deliver what God said to God's people. And Phyllis, this goes along with what you were telling me about this morning that Dr. Stanley said on TV. Down through the ages, it's been God's plan to use messengers to deliver God's message. He used Moses. He used the prophets. He used the apostles. And down through the ages, it has been God's plan that his message be delivered by his messengers. And in the book, it tells us that his messengers should not add to God's message. They should not detract from God's message. It's not their word, it's God's word. And the Bible teaches us that God doesn't deal very kindly with messengers that mess with his word. We need to be true to it, and we need to give it as God gives it. Now, when he says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Again, using that phrase, the children of Israel, he was reminding them of the covenant or the agreement that they had with God. And the message that Moses was to deliver was more than just information. It was a message that God wanted heard and obeyed. It was a message that needed action to be taken as a result of the message that Moses was delivering. He says, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. That word verily is used throughout the Bible, Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus used the word verily a lot of times. It's a word that's used throughout the Bible that God uses that says, hey, I want to get your attention. What I'm about to say is very important. What I'm about to say, you need to listen to, you need to pay attention to, you need to act upon. My Sabbath ye shall keep. That word Sabbath comes from a word that means rest or to cease. A lot of people think the word Sabbath means seventh. It doesn't. It means to stop. It means to rest. And the word is plural. It's a plural word. It has an S. I almost said pluralize, and I don't know if that's a word or not. But there's an S on the end of Sabbath. And so God, as he gave, when he said, my Sabbath ye shall keep, he wasn't just talking about one. He wasn't talking about an occasional Sabbath. He was talking about a weekly Sabbath, a weekly day of rest. And the fact that he uses the word my Sabbath, means that they belong to God. They are given by him by example. 6 days he made everything in the heaven, the earth, and everything in the seas, and then he rested the seventh day. It's given by his command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we're going to read a verse or two that it is a holy day. It's a day set apart by God, different than any other day, and it's his. So he says there, let me find out where I am. Verily, my Sabbath ye, talking to the Israelites, he said, it's not meant for somebody else, this is meant for my people, ye shall keep it. It means that word keep means to observe, to guard, to give heed to. Now, we're not told how to keep the Sabbath. In the next couple of verses, we're going to talk about that God said, you're not going to work on it. But we're not given any more detailed instructions as to how to keep the Sabbath, other than we don't work, and we are to remember on that day the relationship that we have with God and what God did for us to bring about that relationship. But he says, for it is a sign or a signal or a token of or a remembrance between me and you. Again, it was given what do you do to remind yourself of things? You make yourself a note. Some people still tie a string. I see they don't use string, they use rubber bands. They put a rubber band or a string around their finger. The Sabbath is a reminder that God gave to us. It's a sign to help us remember the relationship that exists between God and his people. And again, not just for a sign in Moses' day, but throughout your generations. For all the generations to come, it's a sign to remember the relationship that exists between us. Now, I know there's some people that say today, well, I live in a day of grace. I live in the day of grace. I don't live in the day of law. And so, therefore, I'm no longer required to keep the fourth commandment. I'm no longer required to remember the Sabbath day. I'm no longer required to keep it holy. Well, I would ask those folks that say that, is that true of the other commandments? Does the day of grace take away the fact that we need to not have any gods before our God? Does the day of grace mean that we can use his name in vain or set up idols? Does it mean that we are not to honor our father and our mother? Does it mean that we shouldn't kill, steal, commit adultery, lie, or covet? I would submit to you that the Christian life is embodied in the commandments. I mean, I know Jesus said, hey, the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. How better to love the Lord God with everything they are than to have no other gods before him, and to never take his name in vain, and to never set up idols, and to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, remember that relationship we have with him. How better to love mankind than to never steal, kill, commit adultery, covet, or lie, honor our parents. How better to do that? I would submit to you that the fourth commandment is just as valid today as it was when Moses stood on Mount Sinai and God took his finger and wrote it in the tablet of stone. It has just as much validity for us today as it did when Moses got it on top of that mountain. And God has just the same expectations for us today to keep the Sabbath and remember it, to use it as a sign, as a remembrance, to remind us of the relationship that we have with each other as he did for his people. It hasn't gone out of style. It hasn't gone out of date. It hasn't changed. It's just as much an expectation for God's people today as it was for his people back in the day of Moses. It's a sign, that verse goes on, that ye may know that I am the Lord. That you may know that I am the Lord. You see, the Lord has a cycle. He said, here's how we learn more about God. God tells us something to do. He spells out an expectation. And in most cases, he spells out something that happens to us if we don't obey. But forget about that for a minute. We'll talk about that in just a second. But God sets out an expectation. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so when we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he says, okay, since you've been obedient in that, I'm going to tell you something else about me. I'm going to reveal more of myself to you. You're going to find something more about me. And the more obedient we are, the more we get to know God, that I am the Lord thy God. It's a sign that you may know. I've often illustrated, and those of you that have been here for a while have heard this illustration before, but it's like that miner that's down in the mine. He's got this hard hat on the top of his head with a little light on the front of it. He can only see a couple steps in front of him. And as he takes the next two steps that he can see a couple more steps. And as he takes those two steps, he can see a couple more steps. That's the way it is in our obedience to God. He gives us something to do. We obey. He says, okay, I'm going to show you something else. And we see a little bit more of him. We are obedient to that. He says, okay, I'm going to show you a little bit more. You see, we want to see the end of the road. We want to say, I'm not going to start unless I can see the whole path. And God said, no, I want you to trust me. I can see the end of the path. You don't need to. You just need to see the next two steps. You take the next two steps, I'll show you the next two. You take those two, I'll show you the next two. When we get to the end of the road, I'll tell you. It's like Abraham. God told Abraham to move from Ur of the Chaldees. Well, Abraham, I'm sure Abraham asked, where are we going? God said, don't worry, just trust me. I'll tell you, you just keep going in the direction I tell you to go. I'll tell you when we get there. And that's what God expects from us as well. So he says, it's a sign that you may know that I am the Lord and that I'm the one that sanctifies you. I'm the one that makes you clean. I'm the one that hallows you. I'm the one that consecrates you. I'm the one that dedicates you. I'm the one that sets you aside to be what I want you to be. And so, again, the Sabbath was given as a sign or a remembrance to help us remember that we have a relationship with God. He's our God. We are his people. He's the one that makes us holy. He's the one that sets us apart. All right, look at verses 14 and 15. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now, so again, we see the phrase, ye shall keep the Sabbath. It's going to appear three times in these six verses that we're looking at this morning. And so it says it's important. To keep the Sabbath is important. For it is holy unto you. One of those things that's set apart. That's what the word holy means, to be set apart. And the importance of the commandment, the importance of keeping the Sabbath, is reflected in the punishment for those that don't keep it. Okay? You can tell how important it is to God by the punishment he sets up for those, the Bible says, that defile it. Now, that word defileth comes from a word that means to bore, to wound, or to dissolve. It implies to profane, to pollute, to dishonor. Or here's the one I like best that I think makes it more clear to me. When we defile the Sabbath, we make it common. We make it just like any other day, in defiance of what God wants us to do. And he says, if you defile the Sabbath, if you make it like any other day, you shall surely be put to death. Now, we read in a story, an account, true story, an account in Numbers chapter 15 about a man that went out on the Sabbath and was gathering sticks, maybe to make a fire, maybe to cook with, something good, but he was gathering sticks. The people saw him, they went to Moses. They said, Moses, what should we do? Moses went to God. God says, he polluted the Sabbath. He defiled the Sabbath. You need to kill him. And so they stoned him. They stoned him dead. Verse goes on. Whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And so what the rest of that verse is saying is those that keep the Sabbath don't need to have any fellowship with those that defile the Sabbath. Those that keep the Sabbath as a holy day shouldn't fellowship with those that don't. Now, we want to take verses like this in the Bible and we want to tone them down a little bit. That's what mankind wants to do. I mean, we reverse like this. Hey, if you defile the Sabbath, you should be put to death. And anybody that defiles the Sabbath, you ought to break your fellowship with him because he shall be cut off from his people. We don't want God to be like that. We want God to be tolerant. We want him to be kind. We want to be gentle. We want him to be gentle. We want to concentrate on the God that's a God of love. And I would tell you this morning, God is a God of love. He is tolerant. He is kind. He is gentle. He is patient. But God is also holy. He has some expectations for his people. He makes those expectations known, and he spells out the punishment that comes with disobedience. And we need to know, as God's people, if we disobey him, there's a price to pay. And we've gotten away from that. We talk about the God of love, and again, I don't want anybody to leave this place and say, well, preacher doesn't think that God is a God of love. If you've been here, you know I preach more on the love of God than I do on the holiness of God, but I preach on the holiness of God. God's a holy God. And again, he's going to hold us accountable. And we want to take verses like this out of the Bible, but they're in there. And God will do what he says. And we need to know that if we disobey, there's a price that's going to be paid. Now, he's patient and he's kind and he gives us every opportunity to repent and ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we continue in sin, we're going to get punished. We're going to get disciplined. And God does that in love. Same kind of love that we use when we discipline our children. The same kind of love that when my dad took the razor strop out and applied it to that place on my body that God designed for it to be applied to, he was doing it in love because he wanted me to turn out right. And if he knew that if I got by with stuff that he told me not to do, I wouldn't turn out right. That's the way God loves us. He has a plan for our life. He wants us to fulfill that plan. He wants us to live up to the purpose that he made us for. And when we get off the straight and narrow way, when we get into sin and we stay in it, yeah, he's patient and he's kind and he's gentle, but sooner or later he gets the belt out or the switch or the razor strop out and he lets us have it. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. And again, these verses tell us how important to God keeping the Sabbath is. Now, again, in the Old Testament, we usually associate the Sabbath with the seventh day, Saturday. But for most of Christian history, beginning with the church in the first century, the things that were associated with the Sabbath day were transferred to Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Verse 15 says, 6 days may work be done. It doesn't say which six. So the 6 days could be Monday through Saturday instead of Sunday through Friday. It just says 6 days were to work. But in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. And again, the Sabbath, that seventh day, was meant to bring rest and restoration, relaxation from the labor of 6 days. And again, it's God's commandment, it's his example, and it's God's gift. This day of rest is a gift from God, just like work is a gift from God. Again, it's the rhythm of life. We work and then we rest. We work and then we rest. Working all the time is unhealthy. It's unhealthy physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Resting all the time is unhealthy too. I mean, if we rest all the time, we get lazy. And we lose the use of our body, we lose the use of our mind, we lose our spirit. So we need both. God designed us for both. He commanded us both. Both work and rest is a gift from God. Now, again, the challenge today is to figure out and what it means to remember and keep the Sabbath. The Bible says we should not work. And some suggest that we shouldn't do hard work or heavy work. But I would go back to Numbers chapter 15. I don't think gathering sticks to make a fire is heavy work. And so I think the Bible's talking about all work, any kind of work. And that word work means business, occupation, or employment. And so if we say keeping the Sabbath is not working, then we have a couple other problems today. A couple other, not problems, but challenges. I can remember when I was a kid, there was hardly anything open on Sunday. Usually the only thing open on Sunday was hospitals. There was hardly any gas stations open. There were hardly any restaurants open. There were hardly any other places of business open. But today, on Sunday, everything's open. I mean, it's changed completely. And so, for some Christians, because they work in businesses that are open on Sunday, they don't have a choice. If they want to keep their job, on occasion, they have to work on Sunday. So are they defiling the Sabbath? And those of us, now I'm going to get personal here for a minute. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you don't get mad at me. I'm just going to say it anyway. So do those of us that buy gas on Sunday, stop by the grocery store on Sunday, go out to eat on Sunday, are we defiling the Sabbath? And again, I'm not going to stand up here and set rules for you or for me. I'm going to tell you that God intended the Sabbath to be a day that we remember the relationship that we have with him and what he did for us to give us that relationship. And I'm not going to tell you that it's defiling the Sabbath to go out to eat. I'm not going to tell you it's defiling the Sabbath to buy gasoline. I'm going to tell you my grandmother would tell you that. She told me that. I never in my whole life, and my grandmothers both lived to be ripe old ages, I never remember one time going out to eat with them on a Sunday. Never. 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 And some of the things that go on Sunday today, if they knew about it, you've heard the expression, they would roll over in their graves. They would roll over in their graves. And we've gotten used to it.
But wouldn't cooking be worse for the women?
And again, I can't define it. All I'm going to tell you is, I'm going to go back to the question I asked in open assembly. We need to look at it ourselves. How are we keeping the Sabbath? Sunday, in our case. How are we keeping it? Do the things that we do on Sunday in any way hinder us or keep us from remembering the relationship that we have with God and what He's done for us? And is it different than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Is it different? Now, the other challenge that comes up is, what's rest? Is it physical rest? Is it mental rest? Is rest inactivity? Or is rest doing anything that changes the pace and leads to mental and emotional refreshment? And again, I'll repeat something I said in open assembly. If we're not careful, we get caught up in legalism. We get caught up and we become like the Pharisees to say, oh, you can't do this. I mean, they had hundreds of rules, things that you couldn't do on the Sabbath. I mean, it got so silly. I mean, if you had a nail sticking out of your sandal and drug your feet, you were plowing. You were defiling the Sabbath. And so again, I'm not going to define for you what's work and what's rest. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, that God designed a day, a week, as a day, as a sign for us to remember the relationship that we have with Him. And He says, I don't want you to work on that day. Because if you work on that day, you're going to be distracted and you're not going to remember that relationship. It says, it's holy to the Lord. And again, we think about Sunday as the day to worship, as a church day. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we ought to worship on Sunday, but again, what a better way to remember the relationship that we have with God than to come together with God's people, to hear something from His Word, and to just be renewed in our spirit as we come together. But again, verse 15 ends the same way that verse 14 ends. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Okay, we only got about 5 minutes left. Let's look at verses 16 and 17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Again, that's the third time we've seen it in these verses. To observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. That word observe means to celebrate. On the Sabbath day, we should celebrate the relationship that we have with God. And He says it will be throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. That word perpetual means to veil from sight. And what it means is it talks about something that lasts so long, it's so enduring that a person can't see the end of it because they don't live that long. So it's forever. It's always. And again, that word covenant means compact or agreement. The relationship between God and His people. God will be their God. They will be His people. And keeping the Sabbath is a sign between me, God says, and the children of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. We can go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read that. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. God didn't get tired. He didn't get mentally stressed as a result of creation. But the point of the Sabbath is that it's rooted in creation. It was modeled by our Creator, who rested and was refreshed. We too need to rest. We too need to cease from work. We too need to be refreshed. That word refresh means to take a breath. To take a breath. A fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. A fresh breath of the power of God. And so again, I'll end the same way that I started this morning. How are you keeping the Sabbath? Are you keeping it in such a way that it is a sign, a remembrance, a token, however you want to say it, that reminds you one day a week? And by the way, I think we ought to remember every day of the week the relationship that we have with God. I think we ought to remember every day what Jesus did for us to get that relationship. But God said, I want you to have one day a week where in a special way you think about the relationship that we have. I'm your God. You're my people. And keep that day holy. Keep that day different than the other six. It's a day that I've given you that I want you to be refreshed. I want you to be relaxed. I want you to be renewed. I want you to be recharged. Because you're going to have to go back out into the world. You're going to have to go back to work. And you need this day. I designed it. I gave it to you as a gift. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I pray we'd be hearers and we would be not only hearers, but doers of your word. And so I pray, Father, you'd speak to us as individuals. Help us to examine how we are keeping the Sabbath. Help us to examine how we are remembering on this day what you did for us and the relationship that exists between us. I pray now you'll bless the service that follows. Holy Spirit, please meet with us. Those that are here that don't know Jesus Christ, help them to see that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And just pray that you'd be in everything that we say and do and help us to uplift Him. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.